Down. You know, really, every church you go to has got a different one of these deals. I got down in Florida the other day, one went underneath. And you know me, I was trying to put it over, and it was going down here, you know. And I said, well, what the heck? I'll just go ahead and take it off and preach without it. That works too. Hi, church. Isn't it good to be in God's house? You ever come in here when it's empty? It's good to be in God's house when God's people are there. And when you can fellowship and you can love on one another and you can grin at one another and you can tell one another how great life really is, isn't it? You know, do you know that waitresses are trained in waitressing 101 to say, how you doing today? You know, that's supposed to increase the tip. And I always say, well, you really want to know. Now, if you put enough frown in your face and, oh, but, you know, if you kind of act like it's good. Well, yeah. Well, this is the second best day of my life, isn't it? If you know, the first best day of your life was the day that you met Jesus face to face. And he came into your life and made you a brand new person. And I want to tell you, if you let him, it'll just get better every day. Now, if you don't know Jesus like that, you've sure had a crummy day today. All right? Let's get on with it, because I want you to be thinking about, what do I want to ask this old dude when the sermon's over? You're going to have the opportunity to ask me anything you want to except my age. Okay. I was trying to explain to somebody back there that we don't live in Florida. We did live in Florida. We don't live in Florida now. In fact, as of right now, we don't live anywhere. I know you're not, but if any of you are homeless, I'm your crowd. Okay? And it's not bad. Not bad at all. I don't have to fix a thing when I don't have a home. Okay? you guys will all want to go homeless because there's no honeydew list. Okay. In John's Gospel, if you want to turn there, like I said, in Luke's Gospel, if you want to turn there, I preached in John's Gospel this morning. Chapter 15. If I would put a title to this sermon, I would entitle it, What's Going On at the Father's House? You know, I wish we could understand that this is not our church. This really is not our church. Whose is it? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. It's his church. And we're just members of the church. And we're members on purpose, not our purpose, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. For you see, he has gifted every one of you who've been saved. Now, if you haven't been saved, you have some talents. But if you've been saved, you have gifts. And he's gifted you, and he led you and brought you here so that, you know, you could make this body of Christ better than what it is. Now, there's no other reason for you to be here. You got it? Are you with me? Come on now. Steve? Attaboy. Well, maybe I'm here because I want to be. Well, if that's so, Jesus fixed your want-to-beer. Do you remember when you didn't want to go to church? It wasn't any fun at all, was it? It wasn't to me. And I want you to know, I went faithfully. My mom saw to that. I hope you had a mom like me. My mom's neck was hinged to my jaw. And my mouth opened to say something. Mom always sat on the front, that little country church, and I sat back there. She had me every time. Okay. This is the Father's house. What's going on? Now, Jesus uses some parables here. A parable is a story that has gospel truth in it. You know, you've heard people say, well, that's the gospel truth. Well, a parable is a story that has gospel truth in it. It may not have been, but I find Jesus said here, there was, and he begins there in verse 3, a shepherd. And the dude was well doing. Who was it? You was talking about your tithing thing. let me give you this story. It kind of reminds me of this 101. But when I was growing up, my dad split when I was, I don't know, 4 or 5, and I saw him a couple of times before I got grown and didn't know him, never did really know him. I knew the face, but I didn't know what kind of man he was. I didn't know what kind of personality he possessed, but I knew the face. And my mom sort of had a Democratic government in our house. There was only 7 of us, well, 8 counting her, and we always voted on it, everything. Now, I grew up in a cotton country, and by the way, I want you to know I'm a good cotton picker. If you want to say, you cotton picker, that's okay. I was good at it. And so one fall, we got all of our bills paid, and we cashed out at the cotton gin, and we had a bundle of money. And so there was a car right down the lane from us for sale. And we put the heat on Mom to let's buy that car. We got the money. And she said, yes, we do have, but if we buy that car, we won't have enough money to pay our tithe. Well, Mom, we'll just double up on our tithe. We'll get it all next week. And we prevailed and went and got the car. And as was the fact, it doesn't happen anymore, but the fashion was then, everybody got ready, dressed up, cleaned up, took a bath on Saturday, whether they needed it or not. That went over your head. Forget I said that, would you? And went to town. And we were plowing down the road in this brand new car that was only 22 years old, and looked up and somebody's wheel passed us. None of us had ever thought to check to see if that car had a spare. I don't know why the lug nuts all came loose, but the lug nuts all came loose. Now, I knew my mom was going to be heartbroken, disappointed, discouraged. And she sat in the back seat of that brand new 22-year-old car with her arms crossed with the most pleased look on her face. And so when it all settled down, she said, son, daughters, that was the tithe going down the road there. Well, here's a guy that's got 100 sheep. So what's one? Come on, you got 100 sheep, and, you know, sheep are not expensive. We're not in this day. They're just one little old sheep. We don't know whether it was a black sheep or a white sheep. We don't know whether it was a tall sheep or a short sheep. We just know it was a sheep. So what's one? I mean, geez, unless you're the one. Now, doesn't that make all the difference in the world? You're the one. You're the one. Well, let me tell you, until Jesus came along and put you on his shoulder, you're the one. Now, the shepherd leaves the 99 in safekeeping. Now, he didn't just leave them out in the brush. He'd have 99 lost sheep. He leaves the 99, and he goes, and he looks, and he looks, and he looks. By the way, question, class. Do you remember how Jesus searched for you? I tried to hide behind everything in the world. And guess what? He found me anyway. So he throws this one on his shoulder and he comes back. Now this is critical. This is crucial. And he says, what? Poor old sheep, you dummy, you. No, no, he didn't say that. He said, rejoice with me, for this sheep was lost and now it's found. Have you heard this? Have you heard this? Listen carefully. You may really need to know this. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one that repenteth than 99 who need no repentance. I want to tell you something. When you get it right with Jesus, when Jesus comes in and changes your life, makes all heaven breaks out rejoicing. Where's the? We sing these praise songs like they're choking us to death. Listen, heaven rejoices. And isn't it good to join him in praise? Now, he goes on with this story. He says, and this is Jesus now. You know, he, by the way, he gets it right about every time. Doesn't he? Now, there was a lady who had some coins. And she lost one. Boy, look at the effort. She sweeps the house. She gets all the candles she owns and she lights them up and she's looking everywhere and she searches and searches until she finds. And then when she finds, oh, by the way, point here, that sheep and that coin, no more important than the others. But they were lost. Now they're found. And so she says, I'm going to move on along here now. She says, I want you to rejoice with me. For this coin was lost and now it's found. You know, we don't know whether that's a denario, whether it's a copper penny or a silver dollar or a $20 gold piece. Doesn't make much difference. It was lost. The difference is it was found. Question class, have you been found? Some of you probably would do well to tell your face that. I've been found. I know Jesus. He's my Savior. Now, he goes on to a third story, and that's one we want to dwell on just for a few minutes. There was a man who had two sons. Have you looked at the percentages? 1%, 1 out of 100. 10%. 1 out of 10. Now here we are at 50%. Two sons. And he doesn't get lost. The dad doesn't lose him. He just makes a decision to take off. And he goes. Now, he says to his dad, boy, this is so real. I have a hard time fathoming this, but it's so real. Not on the boy's part. The realness is, the unrealness is on the dad's part. Because the boy is the younger of the two sons. He don't get anything. Who gets it? The older brother. Y'all with me? The older brother. Who's your older brother? Jesus is the older brother. And listen, he's inherited all heaven. All that my Father has, he's given me. And don't you like that when he says, and those that my Father have given me, I'm not going to lose any of those. But I'm going to raise every one of them up at the last day. This old boy takes off with half of what his father owned and wastes it. My goodness. Question class, what have you wasted? I want to tell you something. Jesus has come prepared to give you a precious life. Nothing compared with it. Are you wasting it? I got saved when I was 14 years old. I mean, genuinely born again into the family of God, God's son. A joint, I didn't know all of this then, but I was became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All the things that Jesus had heir to in the kingdom, I had heir to in the kingdom. But you know what I did? I immediately started moving Jesus. I got him in the back room of my life. And you know, he'd still stick his head up. And so I put him in the basement of my life, down there where it's cold and damp and dark. That'll take care of him. But you know what? Jesus has this bad habit, Randy. The darker it gets, the brighter he shines. You know, and every time I turned around, there he was, shining. Isn't there a song about something like, shine on me, shine on me? Well, he was doing it. Well, here's an old boy that wasted. Oh, he was wasting. In fact, he wasted it all. Oh, don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen. Don't use everything that God gave you. Don't waste the precious things, the gifts and the talents that Jesus has put in you. He just wasted it. One day, he woke up hungry. He had spent everything he had and hadn't done one good thing with it. It was all in righteous living. You know, what the world says, living it up. You know, somebody and I were talking about baseball players the other day. And one of them signed a contract for $110 million. I'm reading a book about, I just read a book about Willie Mays and the guy from Oklahoma, the center fielder for the New York Yankees. Golly, shouldn't forget him. He's a good old country boy like me. Anyway, and they both turned down $100,000 because that was too much. Oh, wouldn't you like to have that? You know, the other day, what was it? Got up into $1 trillion or something like that, maybe a trillion trillions or something, that Powerball thing. And then a couple of people hit it and had to split it. Wouldn't that be great to split $1 billion? I'm not so sure it would. The stewardship, you know, the stewardship of 30 bucks or something, but stewardship of all those. You know what they say immediately, the church members that win? Well, I don't know quite how to split this up into 10%. So they don't try. Okay. Now, this old boy wastes everything, and then he looks up, comes to his senses and says, you know what? You remember the title of the sermon? What's going on at the Father's house? He said, you know what? My daddy has hired hands. My daddy has servants bringing him, sweeping his floor, mowing his yard, tacking on the shingles. My daddy has, and they have all plenty to eat and more than that. So, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run home. And I'm going to say to the Father, Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son. Test class. Listen carefully. I got a vote from all of you. You too, Bob. You come in late, but you got a vote. Are you worthy to be called God's child? Not me. I'm not worthy to be called my Father's son. So I'm going to say to my Father, Father, let me just be a servant. That's what we all are, you know. Oh my, how great it is to be a servant of the King. Well, I'm telling you. You just can't find anything better than that. You can't find anything more fulfilling than that. Now, here's how it happens. When you get humble, when you're ready, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. By the way, you don't have to crack your jaw to say that. That's true. You are a sinner. Saved by grace, I hope, but you are a sinner. You're never going to conquer your sin problem by yourself. Jesus is the only one who can do that. And I'll just say, Father, just make me one of your servants. But oh, listen, the rest of the story. I believe, every day the Father got up and looked down the road. And before he went to bed at night, he would come out, look down the road. Get up the next morning to look down the road. And one morning, he knew. He knew the way that guy walked. He knew the way that guy looked. He knew he was different now. He'd been beat up on real bad. But he knew him. And rather than the boy running to the dad, oh, aren't you so thankful that Jesus just searches and seeks until he finds? The father went running to the boy. And before he could say, boo, he said, the father said, hey, look, come here. I one time said the bodyguards. And remember, this is a rich dude. The bodyguards was right there by, no. Anyway, that was speculation, you'd understand. He said, tell you what you guys do. I want you to run and I want you to get some sandals for his feet. I want you to get a ring for his finger. And I want you to get a robe and put on him. Hey, class, what has Jesus dressed you in? You got it? You got it? Listen, he's clothed us in righteousness. And Paul said, it's not my righteousness. It's the righteousness of him who loved me and gave himself for me. My goodness. You know, if you've got to flip a coin to see whether it's your righteousness or his, you won't. Keep the coin in your pocket. He's got it. Totally, completely righteous. Now, put that robe on him and put a ring on his finger. Now, in that day and time, that ring stood for something. He could go to the First Citizens Bank with that ring, walk in there and say, give me a bundle of money. He had a bundle of money. He could go down to the meat store and say, give me half a beef. Oh, come on, that's a joke. These people didn't eat beef. Give me a lamb chop. There's the ring. I want you to know, the Father has made us heir to the kingdom. We not only are heirs of God. Stay with me now. I'm going to quit in a little while. Baby, made us heirs to the kingdom. Are you with me? Not only heirs to his kingdom, by the way, that's about the best one you can be an heir to, but we are joint heirs with Jesus. Miss Peggy Lorraine and I have was it here that I had introduced you halfway through the sermon? Somewhere else. Boy, listen, I've got to fix that. You know, Jesus is easy to live with. I got to fix that. Bert Freeman, whatever Freeman's name is, and Clint Eastwood made a movie, Million Dollar Baby. You see that one? Well, don't you believe in that euthanasia stuff, him? That's not right. But anyway, neither. That Million Dollar Baby is a fan of mine. You know, she really didn't get put to sleep. She's a fan of mine. She runs around with me, follows me everywhere. Million Dollar Baby, would you stand up? This is my Million Dollar Baby. Okay. Footnote, put it in your book, honey. I preach a sermon, My Heroes, and it's pastor's wives. They are, oh, listen, you wouldn't believe it. I'm setting you up. You're supposed to treat pastor's wives really super nice, got it? If you don't understand that, raise your hand, I'll explain it to you. I live with her much easier that way when you treat her right. Okay, now, put a ring on his finger. put shoes on his feet, i.e., all that the Father has is his. Are you with me? Hang on just about 30 seconds. By the way, how many of you will give me two more minutes? Whoa, that's 30. That's 60 minutes. That's all I need. Okay. What I'm trying to do is keep you awake. I know, you know, the time went psst last night. And now here we are getting into my bedtime pretty close. Being presumptuous. No, you don't know me. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I know it, yeah. But listen. I don't ever sleep in. Ask the $1 million baby. At 5 o'clock, I'm up. This morning at 5 o'clock, you know, and it was really just 4, but it... I didn't do it. Who did it? Who did it? She got them pegged right there. They're the guilty ones. Okay. All of us are guilty. Okay. Now, the rest of the story, Paul Harvey would say, there's this guy. I like him. He's the guy. Hey, he's the guy you'd want your daughter to marry. He's a hard working. He's a faithful. He just stays with the task. And you know, he's making money right and left. Oldest brother. He said, wait a minute. I don't like this story. I've been right here. I've done my stuff like I was supposed to. Father, I treated you right. And you never killed a calf. You never gave me a party. A little jealous, wouldn't you think? Just a little. Now, let me wrap this up. The shepherd said, rejoice with me. The woman with the coin said, rejoice with me. The father said, rejoice with me. The sheep wandered off. The coin got dropped. And the son made the decision. Listen, I don't care. It's all irrelevant. However you became lost, if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and you don't know the fullness of the life that He gives out to anyone who will accept it from Him as He seeks and He searches, and one day, if you'll let Him, He'll find you. I want you to know all heaven breaks out in rejoicing. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner than 99 who need no repentance. You know that day? You remember it? That day back there in northeast Arkansas in a little country church, down on your knees right in front of the pulpit, and the pastor knelt there with you and you prayed and you invited Jesus. Listen, I walked that high off the ground all 3 miles back home that night. Oh, my. Remember that? Heaven rejoiced. I like that. Well, you know what? We need to learn to rejoice. I went to a church in Kentucky. You were there. Mill Creek. And the ushers came down and got the offering plates, and the band, whatever you call that crew, began to play, and everybody began to clap and say hallelujah, praise the Lord. What in the world are these guys doing? Then I realized the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Let me tell you what God loves more than a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful surrenderer. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? All to Him I owe. He's everything and I'm nothing. By the way, the rest of that story is He's everything and you're nothing. But we're here tonight to rejoice in Jesus Christ. What he's done for us, he'll do for others. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. Finish up for me. I forgot the rest of the song. Okay. Let me ask you. Have you come to that place where you realize it ain't right? It just is not right between you and Jesus. He wants it to be. Oh, he wants you to take his hand and walk side by side, hand in hand with him. He said this. Now, if you ever get a little bit of a burden, you ever get a little problem, you ever get a load, come on, stand right in here beside of me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now, you're all about to go to sleep, so you don't go to sleep. I want you to stand up, please. Brother Jimmy's going to be here. Honey, you come and lead us an invitation song, would you please? Right now. I caught her on spot. What? Jimmy says they'll play one. Okay. Let's go. And you give God the opportunity to find you. All about you, all you need. I'm talking till he gets ready to go. Okay. I can hear you. Just bow your heads. Just bow your heads. Would you let Jesus take a good look at your life and show you what's needed? You may be lost on your way to an eternal hell. And Jesus is saying, I'll save you. You may be throwing your life into the back room. Somebody come pray with this brother. What any two of you will agree on earth is touching in my name. Jesus said, I'll do it for you. You need to come to this altar and pray. Do so. You need to acknowledge Christ as Lord. Do so. If you need to surrender that bad part of your life to him.